B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Let's jump back to your calls here to start this noontime hour. 617-779-0985.
Yeah.
Ed and Peabody wants to add on to a Bruins finals losses stat. All right, let's do it. Ed, what do you got?
Hey, Beetle. I didn't want to ruin all the hard work Stat Boy probably put into that, but he's not probably old enough to remember back when the Bruins were playing in those playoffs. They were playing against some of the best teams ever assembled in the history of the game, like the Islanders, the Oilers, the Penguins. You know, it was pretty hard to go up against those teams in Stanley Cup final games.
As were the, you know, Blackhawks of 13. They were a really good team.
Yes.
I'd count them in there. So, yeah, I think his point was the Bruins have never been one of those teams. They haven't been the Oilers of the late 80s. They haven't been one of those great teams. That's all he was saying. I don't think he was trying to be that critical of them. He's just saying the Bruins have never established to be one of those teams at any point in their history, other than maybe, I don't know, 70 and 72.
Well, you don't just build those teams out of nowhere. Those teams only come around once in a while.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll ever be that ever again. That doesn't happen. But if you're going to get something close to it, you've got to draft. That's the thing. So you can talk about tweaking rosters. You can talk about trades. You can talk about cap. But the way to do it is through the draft. You got to be really good with young players. You got to get a wave of them. You got to hit on a bunch of picks in close proximity. You know, they had 3 first-round picks going back a couple of years. It didn't really pay off the way it could have.
That's how Chicago did it, too. You had to build it up through, and you had to have enough young guys. You could have your 2 big superstars, but you find a decent goalie, not where you're paying them $7-8 million, you know, maybe $2-3 million, be productive, and have a damn good defenseman.
Nah, $7 million ain't what it used to be, so.
No, I know.
Let's go to John, who's in L.A. John.
What's up, guys?
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
I am such a huge fan of you guys. I've lived in L.A. for 25 years, but I watch every Boston game.
Thank you.
And you guys, this whole team, has made my sports life come back alive. I am so, so grateful for all of your takes and your camaraderie.
Wait a minute. You mean our team?
Always been a fan of Zolak. Bertrand, you could do no wrong by me.
Wow.
You mean our team here.
How funny you are. I'm listening now. Sorry.
No, it's Zoe wants to know if you mean specific, because Zoe has to create a divide whenever possible. Do you mean for this show or for the station in general? That's what he wants to know.
I like the station. I love the show.
Okay.
I don't even watch Stephen A. anymore. I watch you guys.
Right.
I tape the show. I DVR, whatever you want to call it. I am addicted to you guys.
That's
I love the guys in the control room I'm seeing now. I swear, every person
look at those guys.
Yeah.
It's like the Game of Thrones has been replaced.
I don't watch it.
And you guys are talking about all the thrones we're going to win. And when we don't win one, I understand that Littlefinger's got to die.
Yes. You know what
there
he's talking about.
Yes,
Zoe.
Yes.
He brought it home.
That's what I'm talking about.
Zoe brought out the boogie board, I'm assuming, in solidarity with
in
somebody in L.A.
What do you do out there?
I'm an actor, but you wouldn't freaking know me.
Try it. Come on.
Try it. Vinny Salducci.
Tell us one thing you've been in, or the three
Mr.
things.
Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Did you say Mr. Show?
Yeah.
I watch Mr. Show.
I played all the fat guys.
Oh, my God. I think I know who this guy is. Hold on a second.
Yeah? I'm also on the Dana Gould Hour. We play two political guys from Boston on the Dana Gould Hour.
Do you do the Boston accent? Give me your Boston accent.
Yeah, what the hell am I doing right now? That's what I was just doing.
Okay, all right.
I'm just kidding you. Yeah, I've been doing, I'm out here a lot of times. I play a Boston cop or a Boston fireman.
What's your name? What is your name? I'm going to look you up on IMDb. What's your name?
John Ennis, E-N-N-I-S.
All right.
And
John Dennis?
Yeah, E-N-N-I-S, John Ennis.
Yeah, he's listed. The first thing that pops up is the Mr. Show cast. Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. All right.
That's
good.
It's our second actor.
Yeah, You're very famous.
Well, very famous, I'm an L.A. guy who, I'm a lunch bucket player.
Nice.
I'm a lunch bill guy.
Very nice.
He was in Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Oh, yeah, I'm in that, too. I'm in a lot of films that I still get paid residuals, but I never appear.
Okay. All right, Kyrie Irving. What do you got on Kyrie?
I love Kyrie. I don't want him to go anywhere. Yeah. I can't believe we don't have billboards up in Boston saying, we'll all buy you a muffin. Stay here.
Team Kyrie. Hashtag Team Kyrie
like
for
us.
John.
Thanks, John.
He's on Team Kyrie. Smart guy.
Man is a working actor. I mean, he's got a ton of credits on IMDb.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Well, you got to get those residual checks rolling in, baby.
I wonder if he's at SAG.
You know? Oh, yeah. You got to be in
there. Oh, yeah.
SAG.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sad.
SAG after.
I'm sad.
That's how you get all the DVDs
yeah.
early. That's how you watch all the movies.
You got to get a union.
And then every so often you get that little thing at the bottom of the screen like, don't copy the DVD. Don't give it to your friends.
He's been in several episodes of Drunk History.
Don't post this on the internet.
He was in a Frasier. Jack Frost, the movie?
That's one of my favorite movies of my kid, The Snowman.
Of course it is.
That's with the who
yes,
sings it?
That guy.
Stevie Nicks does the, she does the soundtrack on it. What a sad movie. The father dies, comes back as a snowman.
She was also in Fleetwood Mac. Did you know that?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Yeah, lead singer of Fleetwood Mac. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Oh, this guy was also on an episode.
I'm not used to all that
who
praise.
Who was he in Jack Frost?
I'm not used to all that praise from a listener.
Who's he in Jack Frost?
Okay, he played the big bopper in Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. He was in an episode of Tim
Eric. He was a truck driver to kill the father?
He was a truck driver.
A truck driver.
Doesn't say which one.
Not the
I
truck
I think the
driver.
Father got killed by hit by a truck driver on a bad road.
He was in the movie Zodiac. You and I loved that movie.
It's very long. It's like 45 minutes too long. I had this conversation with Chad Finn not long ago.
Oh.
I said, this movie, it's good. It's just too long. They could have shortened it up. They could have done this film, which is good. It's a good film.
Shorten it a little bit. A little shorter. Mm.
That's all. Well, there you go. Now we've got two actors from L.A. that call the show on the regular, Zoe. What do you say?
That's pretty cool. Not many shows can say it.
On the regular.
A lot of praise.
Mm. Reminds me of the show I was
in. Is Lenny Clark an actor? He's kind of an actor, right? Lenny?
Yeah, he's an actor.
That's three. We got three actors at call.
I went to the Maddie show last night.
Oh, you did?
You should see his listeners. All they do is heap all kinds of praise on him. They go up on stage. They kiss him, hug him. Tell him how wonderful he is.
That's all soccer moms, right?
Oh, it's like soccer moms plus 10 years.
I get so excited when I see him, Billy.
It's like aging
that
out
whole
soccer
crew
moms.
Walking around. I run into them every once in a while.
It's like soccer grandmas, some of them. He covers the whole age spectrum.
If I didn't do this show, I'd like to do that show. Like that's.
I'm sorry, what?
Like when I see him, Billy, and we sit down, we get talking, Billy Costa, like, I love your stuff, man. I love it all. Like, I listen to him. I do.
That's because everybody does.
Yeah. That's just great delivery. Was he here?
Where?
Obviously here, yeah.
What do you mean
here? There was rumors he was doing a show from Florida.
Oh, yeah, he was. No, he's back.
Okay.
No, he's back.
Good.
Yeah, over at the Wilbur last night.
Jesus.
Bangs the place
out.
Sold out. Sold out. Once a month doing a show over there. Sells it out. Good luck getting tickets.
Unbelievable.
You got to know a guy. Yeah, it was great. It was fabulous. I recommend it.
Does he listen to us?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Got a boy. What's up, Maddie?
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Let's send it to the Action Update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub presents Zolak and Bertrand's Who Jacked It?
Jackie Bradley with a three-run shot. Number 10 for Rafael Devers. Xander Bogaerts has put the Red Sox in front.
Who jacked it?
The Red Sox hammering their fifth home run.
All right, time now for an update on Who Jacked It. Water is seeking its level. And that means Hardy is taking the lead.
Whoa! Taking the lead. He's pulling away with it.
Hardy, 30 jacks. Bogaerts with 14. Devers with 10. Jackie Bradley Jr. with 6. I've got 27. Martinez with 13. He's playing hurt. Moreland back on the DL. He has 13. Pierce on the DL rehabbing. He's got 1. I've got 27. Zoe has 18.
Zoe, you got to start jacking it, buddy.
I try to jack it every time my guys try to jack it.
Brock every Holt, day. No, he hadn't jacked it once.
My guys wish they could
Nobody
jack it
Nobody saw that
more.
Coming.
The hell is that?
Don't. Just leave it alone. Don't touch it.
It's all hairy.
Jim Louth had the line of the day.
What is it?
No, I'm not going to say it again. If it can't celebrate it, it's fleeting.
What was the line of the day?
He never had a line of the day.
He did.
Like, shocker.
Well, I don't know. Do you guys just want to fork over your money now?
Yeah.
I'm pulling away with it.
I quit.
All right.
Moreland could get healthy. He could get back.
None of my guys can do anything.
Martinez could get completely, feeling good again.
I tell you what. Beetle and I will let you off the hook right now, $25 each.
Yes.
You give us 25 bucks. You give me 25 bucks right now. Give Beetle 25 bucks right now.
And you're out.
And you're out. And save you having to spend an extra 50 at the end of the season.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Can I Venmo it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You gonna do it?
And you take me off all that printed stuff? No, it's part of our show thing. My guys could get hot. Brock Holt could do steroids or something, like between now and the end of the year.
All right, and then you're gonna be at $100, okay. Not 50.
It's gonna cost you an extra 50 bucks.
Doesn't really matter.
Celebrity net worth.
All right then.
It's just money.
Are you gonna let him buy Chavis? If you did let him buy out, would you let him buy Chavis or somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay, well, should we let him?
I like that.
Should we let him?
I'll let him give us each $25 and then get Chavis, and then he's still on the hook for the full value at the end.
Does he get all of Chavis's jacks right now?
Yes, but he's paying us $25, and that does not relieve him of any of his obligations at the end of the year.
Okay,
he still would then owe us $50 each at the end of the year.
What would that change to the numbers, Jim?
How many times Chavis jacked?
Replace the zero with Chavis and his jacks on the season. Right now, you've got 18 jacks. Brock Holt, 0 jacks. Chavis has how many?
10.
Puts you at 28, 2 off the lead.
And you would be in second place.
I'd have to pay you 25.
Oh, he hit one last night, 11. He's got 11.
Puts you one off the lead for 25 bucks.
No, 50. 50. 25 to each of us.
25 yeah. each of you.
Right. Right.
And I don't have to deal with Brock Holt anymore.
Correct.
I'll do that.
You want to let him?
I think it'd make things far more interesting
okay.
in this battle.
I'll take the 25.
I will too.
All right.
Now look how much I jacked it.
They changed it already.
They could change it that
Excellent
quick, but they
work.
Can't change that question mark. Huh?
And now you've gone from last place to being in second place, one home run out. You've gone from being irrelevant to right into the thick of it.
I don't know if that was smart for me.
Look how white our teeth are.
Was it smart for either of us?
No,
we're actually
we
competing.
We already did it.
Yeah,
so, but wait,
you got some teeth.
You got to send up
you Venmo.
You got 90 games to go still,
so you got plenty left.
Venmo that right along. Sir.
This is going to be fun for. I just downloaded Venmo yesterday and signed it all up yesterday for something else.
I haven't.
Used
I don't want to do
it
while we're on air. I will do it. Yeah,
you don't want to be distracted.
Correct. I'd have a show to do.
Right. Who would ever want to?
You do it during the commercial break.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do it out there in the hallway together.
Have Beetle help you. Beetle's good with all that stuff. He's constantly buying and selling stuff. No, not during the show. I'm just saying he's very good. Very good with that stuff.
Beetle probably already sold his tickets for Maddie last night. He had Maddie sign them. He's probably got them up on eBay.
I should have had Maddie sign them.
You know how many soccer moms would buy that? Maddie signed it. You should have had Maddie kiss it.
They gave me wristbands. I didn't really need them. I should have turned around and sold them to someone in the audience who wanted to meet him. That's what I should have done. What do you think those were worth? The wristbands for the meet and greet.
Oh, a lot.
I didn't go to the meet and greet. I just went up and talked to him. I don't need those. I bet those are worth what? $25, $30 a piece? Maybe more?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. I'd say, listen, two wristbands for you, a deal, $60. We'll call it $60 for the two of them. You got a deal in 20s because people go to the ATM. But now with you know what? You can Venmo me $75. 617-779-0985. That's a Jacked It update. Chuck in Charlestown. Chuck.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
How are you? So I got 2 points on the Bruins' final series here that run sort of counter to what I've been hearing. Number one, there's a lot of commentary going around about trying to lay the blame on, you know, certain Bruins, and I agree with some of it. You know, the top line needs to perform, but, you know, there's 18 guys dressed, and well, if you guys aren't performing, the rest of the team has to pick them up. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around. It was a solid team loss across the board. Second point is a lot of talk has been about the size of the Blues, and obviously they are a bigger team than the Bruins. But more importantly, size is good, obviously. If you're a physical player, it helps. But if you commit to being a physical player and you set your mind to it, you know, 180, 190 pounds, 190 pounds, you can really lay some people out. You know, they're calling Barbashev the human missile. You know, that guy's 6'1", 180 pounds, and he was just bouncing everybody all over the ice. So it's more of a mindset, I think, than size. Third point is Charlie McAvoy. I love the kid. I hope he's a cornerstone of that team until he retires. But he needs to adjust his internal clock. You know, he's holding that puck too long, and he is getting blasted. 1, 2, 3, 4 times a game. He's got to figure that out. He's not going to last in the league.
Okay. Mm. I think to his first point about the top line and how, you know, you want to spread the blame. You know, if the top line's not producing, then it's becomes incumbent upon the other players to kind of make up. Didn't they do that? Isn't that what Charlie Coyle was doing and Marcus Johansson? And isn't what Sean Corrali, Nordstrom, isn't that what those guys did?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they're absolved of all blame, but if you just want to blanket blame everybody who is dressed out there and playing, no. Other guys did more than their share at times to make up for the lack of production on the top lines. So to just say automatically now, no, everybody takes the blame, No, we can do that. We're not in the locker room. We're not sitting there amongst our teammates and saying, like, no, it's we live as a team, die as a team. No, we can single guys out. And some of those guys on the third and fourth lines, I think, did more than their share. So I'm not going to just make a blanket statement. Everybody could have done better. No, I think some of those guys did as well as they could be reasonably expected to do. What the hell else you want from them?
Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I know the Bruins came out in Game 7 and they took a steaming pile. We all know that, okay? Yep. But I will not sit here and say, like everybody else is saying, oh, congratulations to the Blues. They were the better team. No, screw them. I hope they freaking choke on it. And you mock my words, Beetle. I guarantee you that Blues team will not make the playoffs next year. They will not make it.
Mark his words, Beetle.
Mark's words.
I thought you were done. I will mark the words. Mark the tape.
I don't think it's that big of a prediction. I don't think it's that bold of a prediction.
Don't tell the people in St. Louis. They get very, very upset with you about this.
If you're 100%
you don't like them and you're rooting against them, they can't handle it. They want everyone to be rooting for them.
Yep.
They want everyone to tell them that they were the better team. That's what they want you to tell them.
So you're convinced that Bennigan's is the guy?
Benihana is the goalie.
Right.
And he is going to win the Vezina. Bushmills is going to win the Vezina next year.
Brickington.
And that they were the better team. And congratulations, and we like you very much. That's what they want to hear down there. And that, of course, they will make the playoffs next year, and they will be a really good team. And we're all pulling for them.
Are you 100%? Are you 100%?
Good luck, St. Louis.
You 100% convinced the Bruins make the playoffs next year?
No.
No.
Nope. Absolutely not. Anything can happen. They can not make the playoffs, and they can end up in the cup final.
I know. I think they will, and I think the Blues will make the playoffs next year also. Would it be the shocker of all time that either team misses out due to injury or poor play or a goalie that loses his mind? No. No.
Absolutely not. No. 617-779-0985. Let's get back to the... what we were talking about earlier with the Patriots. They're filing tampering charges with the league over the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio. Why do we think that is? And does Nick Caserio want to leave the Patriots? We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Think mother bleeper. Why you edit it?
What? Huh?
Jim edits his song down.
Patriots have filed tampering charges against the Texans this week. I have a question about this story. We talked about it a little bit earlier. A little bit. Just the surface of it. I think Nick Caserio wants to go to the Texans. That's what I think is going on. I think he ultimately will probably end up there. Not without a fight. But if he wants to go, what are you going to do? You going to force the guy to keep working for you when you know he doesn't want to work for you anymore?
No.
He wants to go?
No, if somebody wants to leave, you let him leave.
Yeah, you eventually let him leave.
What's the motivation, though?
For the tampering charges?
No, for him wanting to leave.
Money.
That's it? Strictly money, you think?
Total control?
Money, total control, new opportunity, growth, all of the above.
They saw what the Jets GM got, the guy they just hired from the Eagles?
Yeah.
He kept saying no until he got $3 million?
Yes. Yeah. He's getting $3 million in New England? You think he's getting anything close to $3 million in
here, I've been busting my ass. Now, all of a sudden, Todd McShay is getting interest to be a general manager? Yeah.
Yeah. A lot more money, some growth, something new, change of scenery. I just remember what Theo said when he left the Red Sox? And he said, at some point, when you've been doing a job in the same organization for a long time.
Tito said same thing.
At some point, you just sort of burn out, and you got to change what you're doing. You got to go somewhere new. I think there's definitely value in that. I always remember that quote. That always stuck with me, what Theo said when he left.
Was it 9 years, 10 years, something
like
that?
Yeah, he said it had been a long time. He said it's just good, you know, to sort of change and go somewhere else. It'll be good for everybody.
Pioli left in 08, right? So this would be about 10, 11 years, right?
Has he been the director of player personnel the entire time? I don't know the answer.
There was nobody in between Pioli and him, though, right? Yeah.
No, but I don't know how much control he had right away.
See, and
Floyd
way,
Reese, right?
He's been here the entire time.
You've always heard this, too, and Bill say, hey, we want to sign a tight end. Nick, go find me eight. Let's get it down to three, and then Bill picks it.
Not only that.
You know, it's like Nick doesn't pick it, Bill picks it.
Yeah.
But Nick does the legwork to get it done. Nick can find a situation where, wow, I'm the guy that actually does the legwork. brings the tight ends, and we'll work them out. I'll have the input of that coach, but I'm ultimately picking a guy because I'm building the team. It's a different type of control is what it is. It's power. Power and money. See, like their neighbors in Nantucket, though. You know, it's and there's the Josh time. Both are John Carroll guys. Does Nick want to stay with Josh ultimately for the long haul, if you know what I'm saying? And at that point, would Nick be promised more power? I think there's a million
different reasons why he might want to leave, and none of them are necessarily bad reasons.
He may not want to leave at all.
And just because if he does want to leave, it doesn't mean he has any dislike for anybody involved. It may not be because he dislikes Bill or dislikes the Patriots or any of that. It's not necessarily a negative.
Could be just that he thought Bill was leaving sooner than he actually is, and well, he's maybe staying longer.
Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe he just realizes Bill isn't going to do it forever. Right? And that situation that he currently has isn't going to last forever. So he's setting himself up for his next run with somebody else. That's all. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe he realizes Bill's got 2 or 3 or 4 years left. Or I don't know. I wouldn't view it as a negative because the guy wants to look at another job elsewhere.
He may not
after
even
he's
that.
Been in a job for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's all. So anyway.
There's a lot of factors in play.
Sure.
I know his wife's local. She's worked there, you know, worked around here for a long time, worked with any organization. You know, obviously, they got their kids here, so it's tough to pick up and move when you're rooted here.
People switch jobs and take promotions all the time.
Yep. Money talks, BS walks.
It happens quite often.
Yeah.
And so they drafted a receiver in the first round. There was a power struggle, right?
I think
I'm just joking. I'm joking.
Power struggle? I doubt that's what's at play. I'd be stunned if that's what it was. If it's because of an internal issue.
There's 1 second of power struggle.
It's not like Casario liked the quarterback and Belichick didn't like a quarterback.
I doubt that's what it is at all. I doubt that it's because of any real issues.
I think he is a pre-programmed robot. It's just he and Bill are on the same page on it, everything.
But now I've forgotten what I was going to say. Help me out.
Power struggle?
No.
The power struggle?
No. Oh,
the money.
Here's a question. Does anybody care? Fans, do they care?
No.
Nobody knows this guy. Fans don't know this guy. Fans have no, and I say relationship, meaning you don't see this guy.
Fans don't
hear from this guy. Not like you know Bill Belichick as a fan, but you are exposed to Bill Belichick. You sort of have an understanding of who he is. You hear from him.
Yep.
You see him in press conferences. You see him in interviews. You see him on the sidelines. You sort of know his tendencies.
Yeah.
You understand him a little bit. Do you care about Nick Casario?
Here's where fans care. What's the date of the Texans game when we're down there? And what's the final score going to be? Because if you got a chance to step on our neck, if the Texans were engaging in any skullduggery with you, and if this was legit, and maybe they didn't clear proper protocol, who knows? Go get him.
You should care, though, because he's more than a GM.
Okay,
he runs drills
question.
In the offseason.
Different question.
He's in the booth. Isn't he in the booth during the games?
Okay, yes. I'm just asking, do they care? Not should they. I'm asking, do they?
It's another guy off the staff. If you have concerns of how this staff has been decimated with the amount of people that have left.
Well, the other thing is that everyone gives L the credit to Bill no matter what.
Yeah.
And so for Nick Casario, no matter what, and this might be part of why he wants to leave. He's always going to be in the shadow of Bill. You work for Bill Belichick. You work with Bill Belichick. You will always just be working for Bill. No matter what it is you do and what it is you contribute, the credit will always go to Bill. Bill Belichick gets all the credit, whether it be from fans or media or anybody else, probably people in the league too. So is anyone going to care if he walks out the door? And I'm talking about you, fans. The people that watch the games every Sunday, does this story even interest you? Does this even register with you this week? When we saw it, we were like, whoa, we saw this story and thought, what the hell happened there this week and last week? But I wonder if that's just us being a little bit closer to it than others. I wonder if anyone even cares about this story.
I mean, from a team building standpoint, say he's the guy that found Dietrich Weiss. Say he's the guy that found J.C. Jackson or Joe Juwan. You know?
Even on a daily basis, though, can Belichick be the GM, the head coach, and the defensive coordinator?
No, I think
there are people that would say he already is.
Probably is.
But is he going to have to groom the next guy in the office for the GM role and groom the next defensive coordinator at the same time?
I would say the bigger job is grooming the next defensive coordinator than grooming
the
next GM.
It's Monty Austin for it. I mean, you know, that stuff could be already all lined up. You know, boom, boom, boom. These guys just sort of just replace
each
other.
Bring his boy Mike Lombardi back in to teach a guy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Consigliere.
Bring all your friends back in. Bring them all back in. Bobo's on parade.
He can live with his kid.
He's always a free agent now, isn't he?
Yes.
Mm.
Interesting.
Which part?
The Pioli free agent.
Oh, Pioli coming back.
Possibility. Try to get him on our show here a little bit.
Well, he's sort of laying low.
Yeah, I know. I think he kind of has to.
Yeah,
he's not going to tell you anything. But he does appreciate the people remember him here.
He what?
He does appreciate when people remember him here. He likes that. That's where it started, man.
Is his relationship with Bill Belichick still good?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that wouldn't be a roadblock.
No, it definitely is, because I remember them. Yeah, I've seen them the last couple of years we played each other, and especially the Super Bowl. Yeah, they spent time together. Yeah, yeah.
Put the band back together.
Bill's not relationship with
Maybe that's
is not
called
good
Mangini,
with you.
Too. Oh, never to mind. You. No, let's not get crazy. Let's not get too crazy.
Randy Moss.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Here on a Friday, we got the phone lines open.
Sure do.
Discussing everything from the week. That includes the Bruins, of course. And this story on the Patriots filing tampering charges against the Texans.
I guess the intern's mother called the show, too.
Well, good. She's checking in on him.
She's actually watching Cam here.
Called about what?
Tell him that he's on his cell phone and should pay attention more to the show instead of just goofing off on your phone.
That's like, good, that's you know, good
like
advice.
Your kids are on your iPads,
advice.
Phones.
That's what you're talking about.
Put the phone away, kid.
Excellent work. Advice.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, we've got a first-time guest here on the line, so someone we've been looking forward to talking to, haven't had the chance to do it yet, and we're going to do so now by heading on out to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline for the first time here on Zolak and Bertrand. Joining us is the Revolution, New England Revolution Sporting Director and Head Coach. It is Bruce Arena joining us now. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Nice to be on.
Well, it's good to have you on, Coach. Thanks for the patience with the Bruins and all the scheduling stuff. And I know, as Beetle said, we wanted to have you on, but how happy are you to have control of this soccer team right now?
Well, it's great. It's going to be a great challenge, and I look forward to it. So far, the group has responded well, so we're looking forward to getting back into MLS action soon and pushing to try to make the playoffs.
What kind of shape was the team in when you got to it? I mean, you've got a lot of history, you know, in the MLS and at Virginia and everything. What would you say the overall state of the Revs was when you got here a month ago?
I think the interim coach, Mike Lapper, did a very good job in the transition to my taking over. And I thought I stepped into a situation where players were eager to be successful. They wanted some coaching, and they looked forward to the challenge that lied ahead. And I think over the two games that I've been in charge, they've responded great, and I'm optimistic we can continue to do well.
Your first game in charge was against your former club, the Galaxy, a 2-1 win. What was it like coaching against your old club, and was it gratifying to get that win?
Well, sure. Every win's gratifying in professional sports, and you know, I coached in L.A. for 8 years and know all the people there, the venue and all of that. So it was a great experience, win, lose, or draw, but I'm certainly happy we won the game.
What was the message from the Kraft family when you know, day one in the building, as far as the direction, the help they are going to give you and what they've already done. But
well, they want to build a more successful franchise. They're used to winning. You know, they have this team called the New England Patriots that has had some success, and mm-hmm. We're in probably the greatest sports market in the United States, and they don't like playing second fiddle to anybody. So they want to improve the situation with the Revolution. You know, we're moving into a new training facility in the near future, and one of their goals is certainly to build a new stadium in downtown Boston. So there's a lot ahead. They want to be supportive. You know, we know it's not going to happen overnight, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
Was that a major part of your conversation, a new stadium? Was that, and you know, anything that was promised to you or something that may be happening soon?
Well, it made this job more attractive, and it sets a goal out there that we want to have this team positioned to win a championship by the time it moves into a new stadium, if not sooner. So it was a lot of encouraging comments from the Kraft family, and that's part of the reason why I'm here.
From the fans, I mean, can it be done here? Will it be done here? And the reaction at the fans, and you know, when this team's good, when they're winning, they show up.
Yeah, I think the fans in Boston are fantastic, and I'm saying I haven't grown up in New York, and you know I'm not supposed to talk like that, but this is such a great market. Yeah, and I have enjoyed watching the success of the Bruins and watching the Red Sox and the Celtics and obviously the Patriots. So it's wonderful, and if you're successful. You know, and we need to be successful. So we know we have a way to go to compete at the level that the other professional teams in town are at. But, you know, we're optimistic we can get there.
We're talking with Bruce Arena of the New England Revolution. The team obviously got off to a rough start. That's why we're here talking, having this conversation today. But things, you know, there are some bright spots here. And do you see things with the team, maybe some points that are positives and things you can build on going forward?
Well, we have some very good players here, and we have some young players that are very promising. We got a good core of goalkeepers. We have one of the better playmakers in the league in Carlos Gil. Teal Bunbury has scored 3 goals in our last 2 games. Our back line, led by Andrew Farrell, has been good. So there's a lot of good pieces there. We have an opportunity in the transfer window that comes up in January to add a player or two, which we're looking to do. And I think, you know, we have a team that can win some games. There's going to be important games June 26th and June 29th at home against Philadelphia and Houston that are critical if we have any hopes of qualifying for the playoffs. So there's a lot of good things ahead. And we have good momentum right now. We have a very challenging U.S. Open Cup game next week in Orlando. But after watching this team over the last month, I wouldn't be surprised if we're able to win in Orlando and perhaps host a quarterfinal game in the U.S. Open.
Coach, what would you say is your major philosophical difference in coaching from the last coach, Brad Friedel? I know you were both goalkeepers in former lives, but what would you say is the biggest difference between your style and what Coach Friedel was doing?
Well, to be honest with you, you never know a team unless you're inside a team. So I really can't comment on the way Brad ran the team. I can tell you what I do, and I use some common sense. I try to analyze the strengths and weaknesses of the team and play into our strengths. And over the last couple of weeks, I'm getting to know the players. It's going to take a little bit more time, but, you know, I'm an experienced coach, and I understand how to organize a team and highlight our strengths and not our weaknesses. So hopefully I can do that, and the players understand the tactics that we lay out, and it will hopefully allow us to be successful. But, you know, I have a track record that demonstrates that I understand how to put a team together. So hopefully that will be the case here with the Revolution.
All right, Bruce. Well, we appreciate the time. Looking forward to talking to you again down the line.
Thank you. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
See you, Coach.
All right, take care. Bruce Arena joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. And again, he is the sporting director and head coach. He is now running the show with the Revs.
You know, he is right, too. It's like, you know, I've won a cup like 5 times. I did nothing but win at Virginia. Coach the national team. I know how to run a soccer team. I kind of know what I'm doing here. So far, he's been right, you know? Unbeaten the four games since he got here.
So you're saying it's not rocket science?
Or since he took over, it's like, okay, yeah, so far.
Nice.
It seems to be a quality move. Talk about common sense. Oh, he was available? Yeah, it's good. Glad you got him.
Paid instant dividends.
Yeah.
Really has.
2-0-2, right? Last four league games. Yeah.
So. Have not lost yet.
He's down with that stadium, too.
Ultimately.
Oh, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's something to that.
Ultimately, I mean, it's long range for him, right? It's about the build, but it's kind of like the timing is of the essence. Time is of the essence now with the two big games at the end. And if, you know, he's kind of squeezed here where, let's sneak in this sucker. Let's just get in, see what happens. That'd be a neat little start for him right there. And I'm not just talking the long range, but if you can find a way to squeak into the playoffs, then coach your ass off. That's obviously what he can do.
Oh, yeah. They're by no means out of it. That's within reach. I mean,
Who they have at the end of the
game? It'd be a remarkable turnaround for where this team was 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago.
Did you hear how he said Bruins?
Bruins?
Bruins.
Bruins.
Yeah. Bruins.
Bruins.
It's kind of funny. He knows he's from New York and shouldn't say, like, New York stuff. But, like, you know.
Why?
Not just like the Jason Tatum thing. Like, you're from St. Louis. You play here.
I get what you're saying.
He gets it.
He gets it.
He gets it.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Hey, I'm New York, and I want to say all this and that, but I don't because, like, a big fan of Bruins and, you know, Celtics and Patriots and what they got going. I get it. Smart. I like him.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right. 90 seconds.
90
We've
seconds
got
go
the
anywhere.
Headlines with Hardy in the fourth and final hour, and this Friday's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.